We're going to pray and target them and pray for our community. And then what I'd like for us to do about 2 weeks before Easter, and I'll be reminding you of this, is you start inviting them. Say, look, you know, Easter's coming up in a couple of weeks. Man, I'd love for you to come. You know, if you have to, go by and pick them up. You know, sometimes some people will come if you just invite them, but sometimes people will come more readily if you say, hey, you know what? I'll come by and give you a ride. Or if they say, no, I'll be there. And then what you do is you call them up and remind them. Isn't that right? Listen, I found this out. People don't get saved accidentally. God didn't have the accident of salvation. It's called the plan of salvation. Isn't that right? You know, because God moves spontaneously and he moves in ways that are different from what sometimes we think or understand, we think that God's just kind of off the cuff everything. No. The Bible says that every work God has done and is going to do, he already has known about from eternity past. Wow. Boy, you think you're detailed. Man, I'm telling you. God's detail. So how many of you say, you know, I'll do that for Easter. I'll ask God to show me somebody. Or maybe you already know somebody and you'll pray for them. Will you do that? And then we'll pray for them. We'll give a day, or some of us can give even 3 days, but maybe at least one day during that 3 days of prayer and fasting where I will do so. You know, here's the thing. I found this out. When I get serious in my faith and in my praying, God gets serious about his response. Amen. And listen, if you miss a day, or some of us maybe 3 days of meals and pray, and someone gets saved, don't you think a million years from now in eternity, you're not going to miss those meals? I mean, just think of the joy. Every time you see them, you're going to remember, man, I remember when I had them on my prayer list. And I prayed for them, and I prayed, and I believed God, and I fasted even some for them. Every time you say, boy, wasn't it worth it? Man, won't it be good? So I want to encourage you to do that. Well, we've been talking on our series about spiritual gifts. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read that again because we're talking about what some call the fivefold ministry gifts, the ascension gifts. These are five ministry offices, not only gifts, but these are offices that Jesus Christ, the head of the church, has given to the church and set in the church. And here we see a list of those and their purpose and functions here under God given in Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 10, he said, he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature or perfect, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, these five gifts have been given to us, and God, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, he chooses certain individuals and graces them with the divine endowment and ability to stand in these offices. Are you listening? You cannot be educated into these offices. You cannot be voted on by the church into one of these offices. It is Jesus Christ alone, the head of the church, who decides and sets you into this place. Amen? Because he is the head of the church. And so he gives these gifts. And you know, it's interesting that there are five of them. How many of you know that in biblical numerology, that the number five stands for grace or new beginnings? And so it's interesting that it is by the grace of Jesus that these offices are set in the body, and that through these offices, the grace of God flows to you and I. It is to build our character. It is to produce the fruit of the Spirit, and it is to produce in us through us and in us the building of the kingdom. Now, I want you to notice the view of these things. What is the purpose that they are given? But let me back up a minute. The traditional view of this has been, in the church for the most part, is that in the day we live in, usually there are three of these gifts that we recognize. The evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. For most of the body of Christ, in our age and generation, those are the only three gifts we've recognized. And you know what? Your hand might function pretty good with just three fingers on it. But you know what? If it functioned better that way, God wouldn't have given you five, would he? And so he gave all five of these gifts. And what we need to understand is the apostle and the prophet, those two ministry gifts, they have not been done away with. Are you listening? And when we get into this, we'll talk about that a little bit more, because there are categories of apostles. There are about four different categories. First of all, while we're on this, I'll touch on it a bit. The Bible talks about in Hebrews that Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our faith. So Jesus Christ was an apostle, and the word apostle just means sent one, special messenger, and Jesus was a sent one, wasn't he? And so he's in, but because of who he is as the unique Son of God, he's in the office of apostle all by himself. There's only one person in that category. Are you listening to me? That's Jesus. Then there are what we call the apostles. The Bible talks about the apostles of the Lamb. Are you listening to me? These are the apostles that went about with Jesus. You can see in Acts chapter 1, he gives a description. He said those who were with us the entire time of Jesus' earthly ministry, who traveled around, who were with that company with Jesus, who were eyewitnesses to the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. See, this is why Paul, the apostle Paul, I know traditionally some people said, well, Paul was the 12th apostle. No, he was not. Matthias was. Acts chapter 1, you see there, Matthias took Judas's place. But these were the apostles of the Lamb. And there are only 12 apostles in that category, and there are no others in that category. The third category are about 20-something apostles that are listed in the scriptures, among whom were Paul and Barnabas and a number of others that were called, Epaphroditus was called an apostle, a special messenger. There are about 20-something, 20-some-odd in the scriptures mentioned. These are what we call the foundational apostles. They were foundational in one of two ways. Either, number one, the scriptures were given through them, such as Paul, Peter, John, Matthew. Are you with me? The scriptures were given through them, and they were foundational because what? They laid the foundational truths of the teaching of the gospel. That's what we base our faith and doctrine upon. And nobody else as an apostle living today can add to this book. The foundational apostles God used in that time, and he used them. Paul said it this way. He said, I laid a foundation, and no other man can build any other foundation. Now, he said, you can build on it. And so the fourth category are the apostles today, the sent ones, the special messengers that God sends out. And we'll talk about what their qualifications are. The prophetic gift, the prophet, that ministry is still for today. Are you listening? We still need the prophetic voice of God coming through the ministry gift to bring correction and to bring direction and to bring revelation forth. And each one of these, as we look at these gifts, each one of these has a measure of grace and an anointing and certain spiritual gifts that accompany it. And they, those gifts have a different impartation and a different work of grace in our lives. Are you listening? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I like ice cream. Mm-mm. The Lord knoweth. I love ice cream. But you know, as much as I love ice cream and as enjoyable as it is to eat and all, if all I ever ate was ice cream, I'd be in sad shape. Isn't that right? Man, I love a good steak. Ooh, man. It's cooked just right out on that grill, seasoned up. Yeah, man. I like it. Do you know if all I ate was steak all the time? Boy, I'm telling you, my body would let me know about it, wouldn't it? We've got to have a balanced diet. if our body is going to be the healthiest it can be, to be in the best condition it can be, to have the energy and nutrition and everything. Well, listen, it's the same thing with the body of Christ. See, if we're going to do away with the apostle and the prophet, then part of our diet is going to be missing. And if part of our diet is missing, then we're not going to come to the stature of the fullness of Christ, which he said is the reason for them being given. So let me back up and talk about what is the purpose. Why are these gifts given to us? Notice what it is here. He said they are given what? To prepare God's people for the work of service. Now, traditionally in the church, and I'm talking about as a whole, the universal church as a whole, the way these gifts that we do recognize or looked at is this, is that these gifts, they do all the work of the ministry. They do all the teaching, the preaching, the praying. They visit the sick. They lay hands on the sick. They do all the casting out of devils. They do everything. They sweep the church out. They lock up the church and turn off the lights. They do it all. Because they are the ones, you know, they are the preachers. You know, we call them preachers. They're the preachers, you know, so they do it all. And the rest of us, we sit back and, you know, we help finance it a little bit. And we come and sit in the pew. And, you know, if we're really good Christians, we'll say amen every once in a while, make the pastor feel good. But the biblical view is this. These gifts are given to equip you, to help you grow up, to discover the unique gifting and calling that's on you as a part of the body of Christ, and to release you into that ministry and gifting so everybody is functioning and working and busy doing the work of the ministry and edifying the body. I'm not here to do your job. I've had Christians get mad at me because I wouldn't do their job. Well, what do we pay you for? Come on, you can't believe how mean some Christians can be. I wish they'd read that verse over there where it says, touch not God's anointed, neither do them no harm. I don't believe they know that scripture's in the Bible, man. They talk to you so mean. None of you, so don't get your feelings hurt. But I've run into them over the years. You know, they just mean, well, that's what we pay you for. Well, I got news for you. Number one, you don't pay me. God pays me. And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's true for the preacher just like it's true for you. Amen. God supplies my need like he supplies yours. But here's the thing. We want to equip you. I want to help equip you. And all these ministry gifts help to equip you. Why? Because you have a job to do. And you know, the other side of the coin is this. A whole lot of preachers are insecure. Go ahead and say amen. It's true, isn't it? They're insecure. They want power. Come on, I know you want to say amen. Go ahead, it's all right. I've seen them too. They want power. They want to control. And so they're afraid that if they don't do everything, if they equip you and release you, that somehow they're going to lose out on something. Well, I got news for you. I'm not one of those kind. Get with it. Get with it. I want to help you. That's why we're talking about this series. And later on, you can sign up if you want to. I'm going to do a workshop where we get into more detail about how to develop, discover, and develop the ministry that God has given you. Amen. Man, I want to see prison ministries. I want to see nursing home ministry, prayer ministries, teaching ministries, missionary gifts, all kinds of gifts developed and raised up. And man, get busy with them. That's what's going to grow this church. That's what's going to fill up this building. That's what's going to make a difference in our community, is when the grace of God that's bottled up in you gets turned loose. Because one can put 1,000, but what can 2 do? What can 10 do? What can 50 do? What can 150 do? And not only that, you've got a gift that I don't have. Amen? You got a grace on you that I don't have. See, because you might like my style and everything, but it's still going to be like just eating ice cream or just eating steak. Man, you need some vegetables. You need some salad. You need some carbs. Amen. If you're from the South, you need some good old iced tea. Whatever. But we need the variety, don't we? And he said the purpose for these ministry gifts, what? Is to develop you. To help you grow in character? Yes. But also to help you what? Discover what your calling is. Amen. Listen, I'm not the only one with a calling. If you're a believer, you have a calling. Amen. You have a calling. Yes. It was said, Michelangelo, in his day when he was alive, if he went around to any of the stonemasons, you know, that cut out the big blocks of stone or something, what a great honor it was if Michelangelo came to you looking for a stone for his next project. Wow. And he would go around, you know, to these different stonemasons. He was looking for a stone for his next project. And he visited one of these stonemasons, and of course he was so honored to have him, you know, visit. I mean, the great Michelangelo. And he had been to many places, and he finally went to this man's, and he picked this block of stone out. And the man said, you know, because it didn't look like to him the finest and the best blocks of stone he had. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, Michelangelo comes in, first thing you're going to show him is what the best you got. Isn't that right? Man, you know, but he picked something out here in the back room somewhere. And he asked him, he said, if you don't mind me asking, he said, why did you pick that stone? He said, because, he said, I see an angel in it that needs to be released. And you know, sometimes we look at one another and we may look just like that block of stone. We may look like that thing. We may not look like the most expensive, the most beautiful block of stone. You think, man, we wouldn't be the one that we... I know I was there, brother Gary. I wouldn't have been the one they'd pushed up there. They look at him. He's been one of them. I wouldn't even have been in the back room. I'd have been out back under the tarp or something. But you know, here's the thing. God says, you know what? I see something in you that needs to be released. You know, on another occasion, they asked Michelangelo, you know, if you've ever seen any of his great, you know, works of art. You've seen, you know, the David. You ever seen pictures of, you know, where he carved out this picture of David or Moses? Or they beautiful like that? People are looking at that and said, how do you do that? How can you? I mean, you see those things. They look like they're about to breathe. They look alive. Yeah, how can he do that? He said, it's easy. He said, I just chipped away everything that wasn't a part of it. What is God doing in us? Why did God give us these gifts? What is he doing working in us with the word and with the grace gifts and these ministry gifts? What is God doing? All he's doing is what? He's just chipping away everything that's not a part of it. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? Brand new creation. All God's doing is trying to bring out that new creation. Isn't it interesting? Paul referred to himself, he said, like a master builder. And so what is God doing? He sends these gifts. They're like craftsmen. And they take the word of God. Instead of brush and paint or chisel and hammer, what? We've got the word of God. And the Holy Spirit. And he begins to chisel away and chisel away. And listen, anything he's chiseling off, it's not anything that's good. It's you know, all it's going to do is reveal the image of Jesus. Just like Michelangelo, he said, God says, I see a picture of my son in there. It just needs to come out. And he said, all I'm going to do, he says, I'm just going to chisel away all those parts that don't look like him. And so at the end, what are we going to look? We're going to look just like him. Isn't that right? This word maturity, or it's used, I think, in the King James, says to perfect. Now, it's noon. How many of you give me for just a few more minutes? You doing all right? There's a word there. It's called kalartismos, and the root word there is artismos. And it means this. It means to complete thoroughly, to repair, or to adjust. One of the ways it's used is in Matthew 4:21. It's rendered mending or repairing of the nets. Remember, the two apostles were there. They were there on the shore of Galilee. They just finished up a night of fishing and everything, and Jesus wanted to use the boats. But when he came up on them, it says they were what? They were mending, repairing, artismos, the nets. Now, you know, here's the thing. God didn't call the fivefold ministry and give every one of them a fishing pole. Okay, put your line out. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. See, that's the old way, traditional way of looking at their function in church. So you got five, maybe expert fishermen fishing, and then you got everybody else watching them. But what were they doing when Peter and John and those guys, when they fished, they were commercial fishermen. They weren't fishing just to get up a mess of fish and have a good supper. They were making their living that way. So they used what? Nets. But in the using of nets from time to time, they would what? Weaken. They would tear. They would break. And so what Peter and John did, they didn't say, uh-oh, the net's broken. Okay, I guess we're going to have to go back to fishing with a pole. No, you know what they did? They begin to artismos. They begin to what? To repair, to bring the broken strands together, bringing them together, mending them together. These fivefold ministries, what do? They are here to what? To make, bring wholeness into your life, to bring the issues of your life to bear, and to bring together a net, a network. So that what? The net, God can cast out the net. You know, how many know you can catch more fish with a net than with a pole? And that's what he's trying to do. He said it's an artismos, and that's what is to mend and bring repair into your life to help you discover the grace of God and the call of God on your life, and bringing us together in such a way that we form a network. How many of you enjoy good seafood sometime, fish or some other kind of seafood? Don't you like them? Wouldn't it be tough if there were five people trying to catch all that? Might be a while before your name came up for the fish, wouldn't it? Hey, I'll take one. Man, I'd like to have some of that red snapper. Well, I'm sorry, you know, come back in about 6 years and you can have one, because we only got five people out fishing for it. No, man, I'm telling you what. You ever seen, I think it was on one of the channels, A&E or History, one of them, it shows them out up in Alaska off the coast there, shows these commercial fishermen catching those fish. Man, they are hauling them in by the tons. The tons. That's why you can go somewhere, and just about anywhere you go, you can get any kind of fish you want. You can get it today. But here's the thing. We need to be that wise in the church. That we are, God's ordained that we become a network. Amen. He said, when he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men, they understood what he meant. He didn't say, Jesus didn't say, I'm going to give you all a cane pole. But that's the way we've looked at it in the church in America. We've seen each, when we heard Jesus say, I'm going to make you fishers of men, I guarantee you, most of our image was somebody out there with one pole. I got a pole, you got a pole, she's got a pole, he's got a pole. We all out there pole fishing. See, that's where we've messed up. We said, well, hey, if we're just going to pole fish, I don't need anybody to help me do that. I can do that. But they understood, because what? They fished, as commercial fishermen, they fished with a net. And with a net, that means what? We're going to have to all come together. That means I need you. You need me. We need one another. We need the grace of God that's in me, that's in you, that's in her, that's in them, that's in all of us. Because if we don't, the net is going to break. The net is going to have holes in it. And if it's got holes in it, you don't catch many fish. Isn't that true? So God called all these ministry gifts together, what? To help repair and prepare us, and to us find our place in that network, so that what? God can use us to reach in a great harvest. Amen. Amen. A great harvest. Now let's talk about these gifts real quickly. I mentioned the apostle already. The apostle, the grace of God upon that gift in the function of it is to inspire, to pioneer, and lead the way for the church. And as I already mentioned, the different categories of the apostles. Remember, we said Jesus was what? He's in a unique class all by himself. Then you got the foundational, or the apostles of the Lamb, the 12 apostles. Then you got the foundational apostles, you know, like Paul and Barnabas and Silas. And then again, some are overlapping, because Matthew and different ones, and John and Peter were used here too. They established the faith, the scriptures concerning the faith and doctrine of the gospel. That can't be changed. And then we have apostles today, and they sent, it literally means sent ones. So here's the thing. True sent ones, as what we call missionaries, really are standing in that place of an apostle. If they're really sent by God to a nation, then they are an apostle. And they will have the ability to lay a foundation. They will have an authority that is upon them. And they will operate at times because of their unique calling in many of these different gifts. They'll do the work of an evangelist. They may have a prophetic anointing on them. They'll have an ability to teach. Why? Because they are sent out to establish the church. But here's just a little side note here. As that church grows and develops, guess what? What they've got to understand here is, okay, the way it was when it was a brand new church and I did everything and I stood in all those offices and did all those works because what? The church was young. Okay? It comes to a place where the church grows up so that what? No longer am I doing everything. In other words, people have grown up, people have come in, and I've helped them to grow up, and now what? They can begin to operate in gifts. They can begin to operate in ministries. But here in the church, as I've said before, it's unfortunate that a lot of the clergy, the preachers, the pastors, or whatever, the ministers of the gospel, have kept people, handicapped spiritually. We've kept people under our thumb. Because we were afraid. Oh, I don't know about prophesying if it's not me. Well, bless God, I do. Man, if God's called you to do that, we want to get that gift going because we need it. Yes. Yes. Amen. Hey, man, if it's teaching, we want you to teach. Yes. You know, on Wednesday nights, one of the reasons I'm having different ones to teach a series is because what? They're called and gifted to do it. And we want to turn them loose and let their gift begin to operate. And here's the thing. But you know what? If you're not here on Wednesday night, you don't get the benefit. You know, all we can do is prepare the meal. I can't make you come in and eat it. You know? Here's the thing. Are we hungry? What do we require from you corporately? Twice a week. Boy, I'd like to have a job like that. Huh? Show up in about an hour and a half twice a week. Woo, what a job. But you know, it's amazing. Many of the church, you know, and we wonder why the church is not strong in America. Why the church does not grow in America. Why the church, why don't we have all these things? Well, listen, we can't even get people to come twice a week. And you wanting us to make an impact and fill up a building and change a city? And we can't even get, you know, people to come twice a week. We're kidding ourselves. Are you listening? Sure it is. We're kidding ourselves. We're not going to do that. Anybody in here work out, you know, like, or have worked out in times past, you know, put it that way? I have too. I'm going to tell you what, when you work out, you know, you can't work out once a week and get in shape. It'll never happen. Your body will never get in shape. It has to be what? Regular workouts, doesn't it? In order to what? To see any growth in your muscle tone. To see any change in your physique. To see any growth in that. Isn't that true? But yet somehow we think in the church, we don't have to do that. That we can just, you know, every once in a while we can hit it a lick. Then we wonder why we can't get prayers answered. When we say devil get, he stays. Well, didn't the preacher tell us one time? I remember that. I heard that summer. When was that, honey? We was in church. Well, whenever it was we was in church, we heard it. And he said we had authority. Come on. Listen, this is what I'm talking about. We got to, you know, it amazes me. It's kind of like I heard Brother Hagin tell this story one time. He said, you know, he used to travel around, Dad Hagin, teaching, you know, ministering, you know, in churches and all. And then eventually, you know, out in Colosseums and things. But he said, he'd go to churches and he said, I used to run. He said, I'd go 2, 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 weeks. You know, this is back, you know, in the 50s. Man, can you imagine having a 6-week service now? It'd probably end up being the pastor and one other. Come on. Man, if I said we're going to have every night for 6 weeks, we're going to have a meeting. Oh, my goodness. Y'all to have a committee meeting to have me committed. Where's the hunger gone? Isn't that right? But he said, you know, he said inevitably, you know, the first night or two, man, somebody come up to, Boy, Brother Hagin, man, that is good stuff. Bless God. I'm so glad God sent you here. I've been praying. Boy, something needs to be happening up in here. I'm glad God sent you. I'm behind you all the way. And he said he wouldn't see him again. So maybe they announced, okay, after about 6 weeks, well, we're going to be closing the service. And he said that same person had come up to him and said, well, I don't understand what's wrong with the pastor. Why is he closing this service? We got to get serious. Serious about what we're doing. And Jesus is serious, and he gave us gifts. The prophetic gift is inspirational. Speaks by direct and divine inspiration from God. Acts chapter 11. Turn over there real quick. I'm going to let you go in just a minute. Keep your focus. Acts 11. You know, I read over there one time where Paul says he preached all night and all day. You know, some of us can go to, a financial seminar and stay in it 10 hours. But we grumble if the preacher goes over 10 minutes. Ought to tell us where our priority is, isn't it? Oh, yeah, but he's going to tell me how I can get rich. So is he. And these riches don't fade. They don't rust, bust, collect dust, rip, rare, tear, run downhill. Guaranteed. Acts 11, verse 27. During this time, some prophets came down. Notice the word prophets, plural. From Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. Now notice it says prophets. See, a lot of people don't think, oh, there's no more prophets today. Yes, there is. There are prophets. And we want to have the prophetic gift in here because there's something that imparts to you. There's something that's ministered to you. You can't get from the pastoral gift or the evangelist gift or the teaching gift. If you could, God wouldn't give all these other gifts. He'd just give us one, and everybody that's called had that gift, and you'd get everything you need. The evangelist, a direct endowment from the Lord to preach the word, the gospel, with signs following. Acts 5:8, you'll see there about Philip. It says, Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And they giving heed to him, seeing what? Devils come out crying, seeing lame and healed people, lame people and blind people and so forth healed. It says they believe the gospel. Listen, every true evangelist is going to have signs and wonders following them. Because an evangelist not only preaches the gospel, he demonstrates it. A lot of people that we call evangelists are really exhorters. And they're getting people saved, and we thank God for that.
I think that gift is insignificant. Well, that's your thought.
There is no insignificant gift. Don't you ever think that. Well, the gift I got, it's not even. Listen, you know what that you're taking the same attitude, Jesus said, that the man who got the one talent got. It's just not worth the effort, Lord. If that's what you're saying, if you won't discover your gift, if you won't develop your gift, if you won't use your gift, you know what you're telling Jesus? It just is not that big a deal. Boy, you're bolder than I am. Pastors, to shepherd and is the shepherding and governing authority in the church. 1 Peter 5 and Acts 20, 28, two of the things they're to do is to guard and to feed. Guard you from wrong teaching, wrong doctrine, to keep you from error, keep you on the straight and narrow, and to feed you. Are you listening? That's my responsibility, is to guard and to feed. But now, it goes without saying that, anybody who doesn't want to receive from any of these gifts, you don't have to, do you? So you only get the benefit when you what? When you what? Will receive from them. Jesus went to Nazareth. And they said, we know him. This kid, he grew up and played with our kids. Who in the world is he? It said there he could do no mighty work. The Son of God could do no mighty work. And he had the Spirit without measure. And so you expect us as pastors, when you won't receive from us, that we're going to be able to do it anyway? I don't have the Spirit without measure. I have it by measure. Amen? You have it by measure. Then there's the teacher. They teach the word by divine ability. Now, anybody can share anything you know. Isn't that true? And you should be. And in that sense, anybody, in a sense, can teach. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're called to this ministry office. There's a distinction here. There's a different type of anointing and ability. There are revelations, gifts that operate in the teaching ministry. Because God will reveal to the teachers things out of the Word to open up to you. That's why you hear somebody that truly has this gift, then when you leave that place, you feel refreshed. You feel like you've eaten, you've been fed, you feel like something's been imparted. And a lot of times you'll say, you know what, man, that was made so clear, I hadn't seen it that way before. So there's an anointing that's on that. So in all of these ministry gifts, God set them in the body. What for? To feed us, to grow us up. Sometimes to correct us, to give direction to the church, to establish us in the foundational truths, all of these things. And listen, I'm going to do my best as your pastor to make sure you get exposed to all of these ministry gifts. I want to bring them in. I want you to get exposed to them. I'm not insecure that I'm worried about, you're going to like somebody better than me. That's not going to bother me a bit because it's not a popularity contest. Amen? And I know this, for us to be all that God wants us to be, if I understand the scriptures right here, we've got to have it. We've got to have the apostle and the prophet. We've got to have the evangelist here. We've got to have the teacher. And listen, not only bringing that in, but I want to see God to begin to raise some of them up. You know, because when he raises them up, we won't have to bring them in. You'll already be in. Isn't that right? You'll already be in. We'll already have the apostle. We'll have the prophet. We'll have the teacher. We'll have the evangelist. We'll have them here. And we'll, listen, we won't do this number on them. We'll give them room to operate. Amen? Sure we will. God wants to do that. He wants to bring that to pass. Listen, Grace, we're going to continue on this series talking about gifts. We're going to talk about some other gifts list in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to talk about those gifts. And in the process of time, as we go through that series, we're going to have what we call here a ministry fair. You know what that means? Two things. Number one, we're going to let you know about all the ministries that Grace has going on. And number two, we want to get you involved. If you're not involved somewhere, if this is your home church, I understand if you're visiting, that's different. But if this is your home church, you consider this your home church, you should be involved in some area of ministry. And if you say, well, I just don't know what God called me to do, I understand that. That's the reason we're having this series. That's the reason I'm going to have that workshop to go a little bit further with you. But everybody should seek to, you know, when I got saved, and I didn't grow up in church. You know, I didn't know anything. I mean, you know, I seen J-O-B. Where I looked, I used to, that was a job. I didn't know it was Job. It was a job. That's what my mom used to tell me. You need a J-O-B, boy. My mom was about 5'1", but you'd think she's 6'5". Boy, I'm telling you, she was tough, buddy. You think I'm old school. She was really old school. But, you know, the first thing that rose up on the inside of me after I got saved is I said, God, I want to do your will. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to find it. I don't know. I'm not even sure what on. But I want to please you, God. I want to do your will. It doesn't matter to me. Bless God, I'll go in a totally different direction, which I did. I was studying to be a lawyer. And I was right there at the door. And God said, no, we're going to go this way. I said, but God. But all that money I spent. I said, doesn't matter. But here's the thing. There should be something, if we're a believer, there should be something on the inside of us that says, God, I know you've got something for me to do. I know there's a place. I'm not just, thank God, and we appreciate it, but I'm not just coming to warm a seat and put some money in the offering. Thank God for that, but there's more. There's more, God, there's more. I want to be active. I want to be involved. I want to use the gifts you give me. I want to see lives changed. I want to see you work through me. I'm telling you, when you see God work through you to touch a life, if whatever it is, to encourage or save or heal, whatever it might be, I'm telling you, there's nothing like it in the world. You look at it and you say, wow, God, it's so humbling. God, you used me. My God, I know you're the God of the impossible now. You used me. And sometimes, you know, the enemy gets on us and we get on ourselves and we think, oh, God couldn't use me. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Oh, so here's the thing. These next few weeks, listen, walk with me on this road of discovery. Begin to ask God, God, what have you called me? What's my place in grace? What's my gifting? What have you called me to do? Because listen, there are no spectators in the body of Christ. No spectators. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when the little kids play and they're real little, everybody gets to play. Everybody gets their turn. That's the way it is with the body of Christ. Everybody has a place. Amen. And God wants you to find yours. Amen. Do you stand to your feet? Thank you for your patience. I know I went over a little, but we had a good service today. Listen, God's encouraging us. God's putting us in a direction, Grace, in 2009. And if we will listen to what God is saying to us, if we will respond to what God is saying to us, listen, we're going to see the things that God wants this church to be and to do in 2009. Amen? Amen. I want us at Grace, I want this church to make a difference in our generation. Are you listening? I'm just not content to come, no matter how good it is. And it is good. I enjoy meeting with you. But no matter how good it is, the fellowship is. No matter how good the preaching is. No matter how good the worship is. Whatever it is. That's all wonderful and good. But listen, that is not the end in itself. We don't come just so we can say, we had another really good service. As good as it, that's more than that. God wants to use us to impact a generation. There's just like Michelangelo, God's working on us. There's something. He sees his son on the inside of you. Oh, I see, chip away a little. Chip away a little. Oh, I see him. Yep, there he is. I see him. That's what God wants to bring out. And think about it. If we got 100-something people like that out in the community, what a difference it'll make. Amen? Would you bow your heads just for a moment? I know most of us probably are saved and Christians here, but just in case, if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I've never asked Jesus to come into my life to save me, forgive me of my sins, and to be my Savior. I want to pray with you. Would you lift your hand? Anybody in the room? Real quickly. I'm looking. I don't see any hands. Anybody? 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 Okay. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this time together today. Lord, not only with one another, but with you in your presence, oh God. Father, I pray that something was stirred in our hearts. I pray that not by me, Lord, but by the Holy Spirit, by your Spirit, something was stirred within us. Oh God. A passion, a fire reignited in us, a desire, oh God, to be used by you and to use the gift and the grace of God that is upon us. Oh God, I pray for everyone here at Grace. I thank you for their faithfulness. And Lord, I know they want all that you have for them. I know that. God, grant them grace into the discovery of the gifts of God that you put within them. Lord, make us a mighty church in our generation. Lord, I'm not just talking about numbers. I'm talking about Jesus living in us and through us out there. Make us a mighty church. Oh God, I pray. I bless your people now. Lord, may they go in peace. And Father, whatever they put their hands to this week, your promise to them is it shall prosper. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. On your way out.